The American poet William Ross Wallace wrote the following words about motherhood. Woman, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep, oh, keep your heart open always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love impearled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. I like this. Notice that a mother's influence is compared to a divine mission and empowered by the very breath of God. This poem speaks to the tremendous influence and the spiritual leadership that stems from the love of a mother. You may be familiar with Lord Shaftesbury's statement, "Give me a generation of Christian mothers and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months." It is true to say that the mother's influence in her home, with her children, in her community cannot be measured. The Bible has much to say about the value of children and the importance of good parenting. We can broaden that and to include being good grandparents. So often grandparents are very important in the raising of the little ones. And so we just turn to the scriptures for encouragement there. And one of the popular passages in the Bible about parenting is found in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. It says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Now, this verse seems to suggest that when children are young, parents need to give a great deal of attention to the shaping of the spiritual character of their children so that the children will grow up in spiritual maturity and become the men and the women of God. A couple of months ago, we looked at the Ten Commandments and we noted especially commandment number 5, honor your father and your mother. And we saw that within the Jewish community, this particular commandment is actually seen as describing our relationship with God rather than describing our relationship with other people. And as we explore this idea, we recognize the wonderful implications that come from this, both for the children and for the parents. For children, it speaks to the importance of honoring our parents so that we learn how to honor God later in life. For the parents, it speaks to the importance of raising our children in such a way as they are drawn to God. A child is more inclined to want a relationship with a heavenly father if he or she has had a very positive relationship with his or her earthly father. So parents have a tremendous responsibility in raising up their children in the Lord. Grandparents have a wonderful influence and responsibility as well as they help to raise up their grandchildren in the Lord. Many studies have shown the importance of the formative years, raising up a child. Christian nurture in the home is so important to guiding that little child toward spiritual maturity. This is something that fathers and mothers and grandparents are called to do. Mothers especially play an important role in their lives. And even as I'm sharing this, I'm guessing that many of you are remembering the things that your mother did to bring you along in your spiritual maturing. Emerson, the American poet, said, "People are what their mothers make them." Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." So many great figures in history had dedicated mothers who helped them and nurtured them. Now, two important things must be kept in mind as we reflect on Proverbs 22, verse 6. First of all, we need to remember this is not a promise. We really cannot determine the choices our children make as they grow up. Proverbs 22, verse 6 does not say that if a parent just does the right thing, that their children will automatically turn out in a certain way. In fact, parents who take Proverbs 22, verse 6 as a promise often get frustrated when their children choose a different path. Instead, we need to look at this proverb as a proverb. It's a great bit of sage advice on parenting. The second thing we want to look at is this phrase, the way he should go. Now, the Hebrew language is a very complex language, and the Hebrew words and phrases can actually yield different English translations. There's different nuances of meaning in the word, and so how the word is translated really gives us a different perspective. And this is a case here with Proverbs 22, verse 6. There are many Bible scholars who have suggested a different way of understanding and translating this particular verse that actually yields a different translation and a different thought. This is how some have suggested we look at Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he goes, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Now what's going on here? This way of looking at this passage actually speaks to the uniqueness of each child, the individuality of each child. Now any parents who have several children can see this very clearly, or those who have several grandchildren can see this very clearly. The kids are rather different. I remember growing up, Mandy and Megan were really quite different. Mandy was one who loved a rough house and tumble with her dad, and she's lovely, would giggle all the time, and I tried that once or twice with Megan, didn't work. Different personality. She was much more artistic and wasn't inclined to rough house like that. Just a few days ago, Mandy came to visit, and she brought her two daughters, Kendall and Amelia, and it was fun to see them, and again, very different. And then Jake, he's rather different as well. Here's the point. We're all different. We're all unique. We're all made. And what we need to do is we need to understand our children, and we need to raise them accordingly. We want to interact with our children, communicate with our children that recognizes how God made each one of them. Just as there's not cookie-cutter Christians, so there are not cookie-cutter children. In the classroom, I say that all the time. My students are very, very different. And what I need to do if I want to be a good teacher is seek ways to instruct the different students in the way that they are, and not just treat it all the same. And in fact, we can even broaden this idea to the body of Christ, our church. We are a diverse group of people. This is true for many churches. The body of Christ, the scriptures tell us that it's made up of many members. And so there's going to be this diversity. This is what makes the body of Christ so exciting. This is what makes families so interesting. All the great diversity and the differences among us. But on the other side, this is also what makes our families and our church and our communities a bit challenging. Sometimes we want to interact with everybody in the very same way. And that's usually what we like. In other words, we want to interact with other people the way we like to be interacted with. And so we want everyone to kind of be just like us. Well, we know that's not the case. Everyone is not just like us. There is great diversity. There's differences. And this is what makes life a bit challenging, is we need to learn how to interact with others the way God made them. This is also calls for a great deal of patience. We need to be patient with each other. We need to have love for one another. That's Probably why God calls us to exercise this love and this patience that goes along with love, because he recognizes that he made each of us so very different. Let's get back now to Proverbs 22, verse 6. If we take this alternative reading and understanding of Proverbs 22, verse 6, it encourages us to raise up our children, to interact with our grandchildren in light of the way God made them. We do not want to treat them all the same. Now, we do want to move toward a common goal. We do want spiritual maturity in our children. But we need to work toward that common goal from where they are, recognizing the differences. They're not all the same. Related to this is the principle of being very careful not to be judgmental or evaluate other parents based on how their children turn out. I know very godly parents who have children who have not followed the same path as their parents. I also know some parents who've made a lot of mistakes when it comes to spiritual nurture, but their children seem to have a very strong Christian walk. We need to be careful then how we attribute blame and praise in these situations. Parents are not to be blamed for their wayward children. Parents are also not to be praised for their faithful children. The reason that this is the case is if we do this, we overlook some important factors in the process. First, God. God is the one who calls people to himself. God is the one who brings about the increase in the spiritual life of his people. Let's not attribute to parents what properly belongs to God. I'm going to say that again. Let's not attribute to parents what properly belongs to God. God will bring the increase. Secondly, the children themselves are going to make decisions on how they are going to respond to God. Now, parents may provide the opportunities for spiritual instruction, the opportunities for growth, but sometimes the children are going to choose a different path. We do have a responsibility as parents, as grandparents, to nurture and to guide our children and our grandchildren in a certain direction. But ultimately, our children will make their own decisions in these matters. That's how God made us. We have the ability to accept his offer of love and fellowship, and we also have the ability to reject the same. Parents will stand before God and they will answer for how they raise their children. But I don't think we will be answering for whether or not our children embraced the message of the gospel. Another important verse in this theme of parenting from Proverbs is chapter 29, verse 15. It reads, "The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother." Parenting involves discipline at times, and such discipline is hard work. Sometimes we want our kids just to behave, so we don't have to discipline them, but if you're a parent, you know that that's simply not going to happen. You maybe start off with that idea, but you recognize quickly that you need to discipline your child when that is needed. Discipline is not pleasant. It's neither pleasant for the child nor the parent. I remember when I was growing up, my mom used to often tell me, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." And I never believed her at the time. I thought my mom actually enjoyed the process. But when I became a parent myself, I quickly understood what my mother was talking about. Pain, it is painful to have to discipline your children. Now, some parents In order to avoid that difficulty, we'll actually err on the side of leniency, but that doesn't really solve the problem. That just delays the heartache of disciplining the children. Actually, in many situations, it makes it worse. As parents, we need to discipline our children, understanding that discipline has the purpose of yielding the fruit of righteousness in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12 is a wonderful passage that shows that discipline from God and discipline from our parents is to bring about a righteousness in our conduct. Other passages from the Bible that give lots of good insight into parenting is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. But this morning we're going to give our attention to just one particular passage, Proverbs chapter 31. And what we're going to do this morning is share six very important steps for mastering the leadership skills of mothering. And this actually comes from a book about mothering, and it's called Mom PhD, and the author of this book takes Proverbs 31 and just gleans from this some great truths and principles for being a godly mother. Let's start by looking at chapter 31. You want to follow along in your Bibles. Chapter 31, beginning at verse 10, it says, "A wife of noble character who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." So the first principle, the first step in this six steps of mastering the leadership skills of motherhood is character. Leading with integrity. The Bible has many examples of women of great character who led with integrity. One of them that comes to mind is the story of Esther. I understand the Thursday morning women's Bible study recently looked at this particular story. Esther was a wonderful example of doing the right thing. Esther was a Jewish girl who became the queen of Persia, but she did that without revealing her heritage. When she discovered that there was a plot to kill the Jewish people, she needed to go into the king, putting her life at risk. But at the end, she did the right thing. We looked at this passage recently with our National Day of Prayer, and we noted that she asked all of her brothers and sisters in the Lord to pray for her for 3 days so that God's providence and God's protection would be there. And then she did go before the king and secured the safety of her people. Another great example from the scriptures is the story of Dorcas. This is found in the book of Acts chapter 9. Dorcas was one with a true servant's heart. She's introduced in verse 36 and described as the one who always doing good and helping the poor. Now one day she died unexpectedly, and two men from her town were then sent to find the apostle Peter and bring him to Joppa, her hometown, hoping that he could help in that situation. We read in verse 39 that when Peter arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room where Dorcas lay dead. And then continuing verse 39, all the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. The story goes on to describe how Peter brought her back to life. But the focus here was a woman with a servant's heart who helped out others and very much became a wonderful example of integrity and selfless service. Which brings to us the question, what kind of example are we giving to our children? Examples of honesty, the love of truth, of giving, of serving. If you think about it, so much of who we become is shaped by the example given to us by our mothers, by our fathers, by our grandparents. Listen to the words of Dorothy Law Nolte. It's a poem entitled, Children Learn What They Live. If children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with ridicule, they learn to be shy. If children live with shame, they learn to feel guilt. If children live with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If children live with praise, they learn to appreciate. If children live with fairness, they learn justice. If children live with security, they learn to have faith. If children live with approval, they learn to like themselves. If children live with acceptance and friendship, they learn to find love in this world. Children learn what they live. They learn what we as parents and grandparents model for them. God bless you, mothers and fathers and grandparents, as you go about the task of bringing encouragement and praise and acceptance into the life of the children. Proverbs 31, verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. In addition to loving and nurturing her own children, the godly mother loves and encourages others, especially those less fortunate. This brings us to our second step in the process of maternal leadership, compassion, leading with love. We've read 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That last phrase could also be translated, love never gives up. If you think about that wonderful passage of love and just think on motherhood, to what degree can we put mothers in that category or that description of love? Mothers do not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. Mothers are always protecting. Mothers always trust, always love, always perseveres. Our mothers are examples and conduits of love to us. A teacher asked little Billy one day in math class, Billy, suppose your mother made a peach pie and there were 10 of you at the table. Your mother, your father, and 8 children. How much of the pie would you get? A ninth, ma'am, was the little boy's quick reply. No, Billy, the teacher said. Pay attention now. There are 10 of you. 10, remember. Don't you know your fractions? Oh, yes, ma'am, Billy said. I know my fractions, but I also know my mother. And she would say she didn't want any pie. Mothers, your selflessness does make an impression and is noticed by the little ones. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 21. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. I love that. This shows motherly wisdom, sending them out in the snow, dressing them in scarlet. Verse 22, she makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed with fine linen and purple. She is clothed with strength and dignity, she can laugh all the days to come. This brings us to step three of our maternal leadership, of our bringing Proverbs 31 into the life of our homes. Competence, leading with diligence. Seems as though moms do everything. And if you're a mom, you remember doing everything. I think back to my own mom. It seemed like she was always busy and doing so many things for us kids. She was the one who could fix the toy. She was the one who could solve that dispute. She was the one who volunteered as a Cub Scout leader. She was the one that was on the PTA. She was the one who went to all five of our school plays. He didn't hear that. Mothers do everything. Mothers do everything. There's a sense in which mothers are diligent. Mothers work so very hard to share that love with their children. Proverbs 31, verse 26. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Our fourth principle here is communication. Leading with wisdom. Leading with wisdom. One of the most important features of communication is listening. Listening to our children, but especially listening to God. You ever wonder why God gave us two ears and but one mouth? He wants us to listen. I'm reminded of the story in the Gospels of Mary and Martha. Jesus was a dear friend of theirs. Jesus came to town one day and was visiting with Mary and Martha. Many of us are familiar with that story. Martha was the one who seemed to be focused on being busy and serving and taking care of all the needs of the house. Mary, however, she sat at the feet of Jesus and she listened. Now, busyness is good, and mothers are very, very busy. But there's a sense in which, in this story, Jesus recognizes and commends Mary for her for listening ear. We need to listen at times. Put the busyness to the side so we can listen to our children, listen to God. Proverbs 18, verse 13. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. We need to think before we speak. If we do this, we will not end up regretting the words that come out of our mouths before we have a chance to think about how our words will have an impact on others, especially our young children. Children can be crushed with careless words, words that we do not intend to cause harm, but that's the way they're taken. And so we need to be careful with the words that we use when talking with our children, with our grandchildren. Also, our method of communication is important as well. Again, this takes us back to that principle that we're all different. We're all created and made differently, and so we need to approach people differently and interact with people differently. We need to talk to children differently based on their temperament, based on their personalities. Good communication is shaped by the people with whom we're trying to communicate and not necessarily on our own personality type or our own temperament or our own ways of preferring to communicate. Not everyone will be receptive of the kind of communication that you are most comfortable with. We want to communicate with other people. And that may involve adopting a style of communication and interacting that they are most geared for. Proverbs 31, verse 13 and 17. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. This brings us to our fifth step, charisma, leading with vigor. This involves maintaining a careful balance between high expectations, high standards, a high vision for our children. But on the other side, also just taking some things in stride. Having a good sense of humor in our parenting. Mark Twain once said, "My mother had a great deal of trouble with me, but I think she enjoyed it." Motherhood can be challenging, but we also need to enjoy the process. We need to enjoy our children. And yes, sometimes we can enjoy the mischief. Just don't let them know that. We also need to remember that our children are just children. They're not yet fully developed physically. They're going to spill their milk all the time. They're not yet fully developed emotionally. They're going to cry sometimes for no apparent reason. They're sometimes going to get their feelings hurt over things that seem so minor to us. Our children are not yet fully developed socially. In other words, they're not going to consider your interests and your needs in their impulsiveness and in their demands. They're not yet fully developed intellectually. They're simply not going to understand you sometimes, especially when you use abstract ideas or metaphors to communicate your expectations to them. They're just children. They're just kids. Sometimes we make the mistake of viewing them as just little adults. And then we get frustrated when they don't respond and act like adults. Today, they are children who will interact and deal with the world as children. Tomorrow, they will be adults and they will interact and deal with the world as adults. I'm reminded of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. So we need to enjoy them as children today. Tomorrow we will engage with them as adults. This will eliminate a lot of the frustration we sometimes have. Another important balance that we need to maintain is that balance between the good and the bad. Sometimes moms feel that they're always having to correct bad behavior. However, there is also some good there, a lot of good. We just need to take the time to look for it. If you look for it, you will find it. And when you find it, you need to celebrate the good. We need to catch them doing good things and praise them for that. Let's move on now to our last passage and our last step, Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. So finally, number 6, we are focused on God-centered living, leading with faith. We all need to grow in our spiritual faith, and mothers are often the ones who are busy helping the young ones to do that very thing, to grow in their faith, to find Christian nurture, to find spiritual instruction. And moms so often provide that. They so often model that. We see in the book of Job a pattern of behavior that many mothers can identify with. That of simply praying for their children. Praying for their salvation. Praying for their protection. We read in Job 1:5. Of Job's practice of praying for his children and sacrificing burnt offerings for each of his children because he thought, verse 5, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. How many mothers have sleepless nights worrying and praying for their children? We also need to lead with our faith. being examples of great faith to our children, being examples to our children of what we want to see them develop into. Our children will live lives of faith as they see such lives of faith being lived out by their mothers and their fathers and their grandparents. We do have a wonderful influence on the little ones. And so God calls us to exercise that so carefully. Let's close with a Mother's Day creed. A Mother's Day creed. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was born of the promise to a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love Mary gave her son that caused her to follow him in his ministry and to stand by his cross at his death. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of their children they bear. It is stronger than steel, softer than down, and more resilient than a green sapling on a hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointments, and enables the weakest child to stand strong and straight in the fields of adversity. I believe in this love, even at its best, is only a shadow love of God, a dark reflection of all that we expect of Him in this life and in the next. I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is the mother who lets this greater love flow through her to her children, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy. Thank God for mothers, and thank mothers for helping us to understand God better. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the mothers that you have given to us. We thank you so much for the grandparents you have given to us. And so, Father, as mothers and fathers and grandparents, we are, our desire is to be found faithful in loving our children, guiding our children, being examples to our children, showing them what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. On this Mother's Day, if the opportunity presents itself, let us share with our mothers the great joy that we have in what she has done for us. And thank our mothers. Father, we thank you for the mothers you have given to us and those figures in our life who have been a mother to us, even though they may not have borne us. They were a mother to us. And help us each one to continue to nurture and to care for and to love one another. Father, we thank you for this Mother's Day. Help us to honor our mothers. In Jesus' name, amen.